Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about Jonathan, Saul's son. When you study the life of Jonathan, one of his outstanding characteristics that immediately surfaces is his loyalty. You see, loyalty is the quality of being unwavering in devotion to a friend or to a vow or to a cause. It's the quality of being true to any person to whom you owe fidelity, like a wife to her husband, or a friend to his friend, or lovers to each other. And unfortunately, loyalty is a characteristic that is seen less and less in men today, particularly in the areas where it really counts, in the areas of devotion to the Lord, in areas like the devotion to friends, or in devotion to family. Now, it's not that men don't know about loyalty. They know about loyalty. They're loyal to their sports teams. They're loyal to their cars, you know, the brand of vehicle that they drive. They're loyal to the brand of cigarette they smoke. They're loyal to their political party. Right now, you've got people in late night tweeting, they say, and in talking on the radio and so forth. It's all about sports. And they all want to talk about their teams. And their team is best, and it doesn't make a difference if their team is best or not. It just feels that way because of their loyalty. They know about loyalty. But you and I need to be loyal to something more than just a team or a brand of automobile. We need to be loyal to each other. We need to be loyal to our families. We need to be loyal to God. And so today we're going to take a look at Jonathan's life, and we're going to see these characteristics. First of all, we're going to look at his loyalty to his Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, when Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, nothing was going on. So Jonathan decided he was going to go over unto the Philistines' garrison. And he took his armor bearer with him. And in verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Look in verse 10. They're trying to figure out whether to go up and attack or wait for the garrison to come down. Jonathan said, "If they say thus, come up unto us, then we'll go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." Verse 12, "The men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." Now listen, Jonathan made no bones about it. He knew something had to happen. His father was sitting under the tree, stalemated. So he went up after that garrison, and he knew when that garrison said, come up here, that God had intervened and God would deliver that garrison into the hand of Israel. He didn't even claim into his hand. Jonathan knew that the Lord wanted to deliver the Jews out of the hands of the Philistines. Okay? And his dad was afraid to move. So Jonathan went after this small garrison, trusted God to deliver them. Absolutely loyal to the Lord and to his cause, because he knew the Lord wanted to put down the Philistines. Absolutely loyal to the cause. In spite of the fact that Jonathan and his armor bearer could have lost their lives in the battle. I mean, it was a risk. One against 20, I think. What do you say here? The Bible says, verse 14, that first slaughter which Jonathan his armor-bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. There's so many men today that know God wants them to do something for him, for the work of the church, witnessing, mission field, Bible college so you can preach, something. But they don't have the loyalty that Jonathan had. They're not willing to sacrifice themselves for the work God called them to do. What did the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 12? Verses 1 and 2, he said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, you know what the servant says at the end of his day? We are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do, done out of loyalty. There's a book that was written about Paul Tibbets, the pilot of the Enola Gay that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. The book is called Duty. And those men were trained and did what they did out of loyalty to the cause, out of loyalty to their country. I ought to say to you that the Lord is even of greater value than the cause of the country. And yet, where is his loyalty? Listen, if you want to characterize yourself as a loyal person, be loyal to your Lord. Sacrifice yourself to him and fulfill your duty to him and trust him to give you the strength and the grace and the wherewithal to fulfill your duty to him. Loyalty to the Lord. In Jonathan, we see loyalty, and not only do we see his loyalty to his Lord, but we also see his loyalty to his friend. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, in verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, this is after David had killed Goliath. And Jonathan's soul was knit with David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. One of the greatest treasures in life is to have a friend. That is, at least one you can count on for your entire lifetime. You need a friend that will stick close to you and be perfectly loyal. One that will never cross you. And you need to be that kind of friend. Now, I've seen some wonderful friendships destroyed by a lack of loyalty. I'm thinking of an example right now of a missionary who was well supported by a friend. And the friend told him that if he went to a particular church, he would withdraw his support. And there was a lot of money on the line. The missionary was not going to be bought for money. He went because it was the right thing to do. And you know what his friend did? He withdrew his support and severed a 15-year friendship and then went to another church to try to undercut his friend. You know what Seneca said about this? Seneca said, fidelity purchased with money, money can destroy. You think of all these political contributions that are made to bring politicians in to office. You get the idea that there is a long-standing, long-lasting friendship in the making. But I will tell you what, if the politician doesn't do what the money said, he's gone. You can't buy friends. You make friends by loving them unconditionally. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. And Jonathan was loyal to his friend. Listen, when he made his friendship with David, he put everything on the line, and it cost him, I'm talking about Jonathan, it cost him a relationship with his own dad. Now, you're going to see here in a minute that Jonathan maintained his loyalty to his family. But I want you to know something. It really put a strain on the relationship that Jonathan had with his dad. A lot of times friendships are like that. You make a friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of your friends that you have now, your drinking buddies, will sever their friendships with you because they won't have the same sense of loyalty to you once you become a Christian. As a Christian, you're an abomination to them. I'll tell you what, to find a faithful friend is a real treasure. But in order to find a faithful friend, you're going to have to be a faithful friend. And the reality is churches are torn apart daily by members who are not loyal to their friends. They use their tongues to bring down friendships that are very hard to build. I've seen that. You're not going to go in the ministry as many years as we've been in the ministry without seeing all the things that we're talking about today. I've seen people you thought there would never be anything to break them up. And they get broken up. And they begin to tear each other down. I have watched people be in church, profess loyalty to their pastor, and then suddenly get a burr in their saddle over something, get offended, and you would have thought that their pastor was the Antichrist. I've got a friend of mine that had a church of maybe 200 plus people in it. I watched 90 people that I knew in that church leave. And boy, I mean, in the early days, those 90 people were so close to their pastor, and they loved their pastor so much in word. But all of a sudden, something began to change, and they found out they couldn't control him. And a few left, and they took more. You know, that's the way it is when people leave a church. In order to justify their exodus, they have to take some people with them. And they took more people with them and started making phone calls to other people. And they were dragging them out of there. 90 people ended up leaving that church. 90. And that cut it in half. And you say, well, that's a tragic thing. Undoubtedly, it's a tragic thing. It's a horrible thing. But what I want to say to you is all those people who profess that loyalty, that wasn't loyalty. That was convenience. As long as you'll preach the way we want you to preach, we'll keep saying here, and as soon as our money can't persuade you to preach the way that we want you to preach, we're going. That's not loyalty. That's not loyalty. And what you're going to see is that loyalty is something that is of a great treasure, and a lot of professed friendships are really not nearly as strong as you would expect them to be, and they're not the kind of thing that you can really count on in terms of loyalty. I was going to say this to you. You want to make sure that you are the kind of friend who is going to be loyal. When you profess yourself to be that kind of friend, you want to be loyal to the end. You know, it's an interesting thing. I've got friends today that I've had for over 50 years. That says an awful lot about their friendship. It also says an awful lot about my friendship to them. You say, how is that? Loyalty. Loyalty to your friends. You see, Jonathan was loyal to his Lord. He was loyal to his friend. And then notice the loyalty to his family. Now, as we look at this part of Jonathan's loyalty, I'm reminded of Ruth. You see, Ruth was a daughter-in-law to Naomi. Ruth's father-in-law had died, and her own husband had died. Her brother-in-law died, and yet she wanted to stay with her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law got ready to leave, Moab. And Ruth stayed with her. Ruth is the epitome of loyalty to family. Ruth said to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my friend, and thy God my God." Jonathan knew that David was going to get the throne, and he knew that the mischief practiced by his father was putting a strain on the relationship between David and all of Saul's family. Jonathan wanted to be sure that the friendship between him and David would continue on, not just in their lifetimes, but on to their children, just in case anything bad happened to either one of them. Now that's real loyalty, and that is real loyalty to his own family. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 20, look at verse 14. Thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever, no, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. In other words, David, I want you to take care of my family if I'm gone. And I want the Lord to sick your enemies on you if you don't keep this covenant. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, that's something else. Look in verse 42, same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed, forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Between 1 Samuel chapter 20 and 2 Samuel chapter 9, Jonathan dies in a war next to his father. So look what David did when he finally got to the throne. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 7. And David said unto him, who's he talking about? He's talking to Mephibosheth, the lame son of Jonathan. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. David was faithful to the covenant between him and Jonathan. The question is, though, how many men are loyal, that loyal, to their families? These days, men are unfaithful to their spouses, and they think nothing of leaving home and leaving their families fatherless. I can't tell you how many times since I've been in the ministry, a man has left his home to go be with another woman. And I know what it is. It's lust of the flesh and the responsibility of the household, you know, has a tendency to cool off things because both people are now having not only to enjoy their companionship, but they're having to bear load. A man's got to work, bring home money. Wife's got to try to make the ends meet and work within the finances and take care of the kids and do the laundry. And it has a tendency to cause a strain on the romance. And suddenly the guy finds some woman and she's attracted to him and doesn't care anything about vows and doesn't care anything about God's view on adultery. And there's no responsibility in the relationship whatsoever. His wife is ironing his clothes and taking care of his meals and all those other things and taking care of his children at home. He's footloose and fancy free. There's no responsibility in it. And so they get going together. I can't tell you how many times I've seen men leave their wives in that condition and leave their families without dad. I've seen it over and over again. And you know what? Jonathan wasn't like that. Jonathan not only devoted his life to his children while he was alive, but he made a covenant with David to make sure that his children would be cared for when he was gone. That's loyalty. And I want to say something. If you're having trouble in your families, I don't know about it, but I'm going to say this. If you will be loyal to your vow, you will find a way to work it out. That's loyalty. That's loyalty. Jonathan was loyal to his family, and you don't see much of that today. The divorce rate is it's through the ceiling, and it's just as bad among Christians as it is among men in the world. Now listen, wife, if you are thinking about being unfaithful to your husband because you found some man that doesn't care anything about the sin of adultery and is willing to spend some time with you, get that out of your mind. You made a vow to your husband. You say, well, you just don't understand how things are at home. Listen, go to work on it by God's grace. Remain loyal and find a way to fix it. Jonathan was loyal to his family. He was loyal to his Lord. He counted on God to deliver him in battle. He was loyal to his friend. He put his own relationship with his dad on the line for his relationship with David. Listen, if you're going to set up a friendship and people are going to count on you, you make sure you to be a loyal friend, and whatever you do, be loyal to your children and to your spouse. Be loyal to your family. But that's not all. The loyalty of Jonathan is also seen in the loyalty to his father. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, said, let the Hebrews hear, and all Israel heard, say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Who defeated the garrison of the Philistines? Verse 3 says that Jonathan did. Verse 4 says Saul took credit for it. Now look in 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. We've been there. You know what happened? David left because Saul was trying to kill him. And David said to Jonathan in verse 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 20, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field under the third day at even. Now Jonathan was supposed to eat with his father and find out from his father whether he truly intended to kill David or whether he wanted David to come back. And in the process of doing this, checking out his father's intentions toward David, Jonathan pressed the issue. And when Jonathan pressed the issue, he said in verse 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 20, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem, and he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren, therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. And Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at Jonathan to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Jonathan was almost killed by his father. There was a time when Jonathan did not hear a commandment about not eating anything in a battle against the Philistines. Jonathan stopped to eat some honey so that he could be strengthened to continue in the battle. And when Saul found out about it, he said, well, he's broken the vow, and wanted him killed. If it hadn't been for the people who spared him, Saul would have killed him. Now let me tell you something. Saul was so jealous of David that he tried to kill his own son, who was the heir to the throne had God not chosen David. And because of Jonathan's friendship with David, Saul threw a javelin at him. Let me tell you something. In spite of all that, Jonathan fought by the side of his dad right up to the very end of his life. You know why? loyalty. This modern blame your parents mentality, this modern philosophy of driving a wedge between the parents and their children is damnable. Your father is your father and your mother is your mother. You owe them your loyalty. Now I understand there are strange and unusual circumstances. I'm talking about in the normal sense. Don't let anyone ever convince you otherwise. Loyalty. There were extenuating circumstances in Jonathan's life. His own dad tried to kill him. But when you find Jonathan in the final battle with his dad, you know where he was? Side by side. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Jonathan maintained his loyalty to his dad to the very end of his life. Now listen. No one but God is perfect. So he definitely deserves your loyalty. But not only does he deserve your loyalty, so do your friends. So does your family. And so do your parents. Even when your friends fail. Even when your family fails. Even when your parents fail. Remember Jonathan and remember his loyalty. And remember that that same loyalty is what you owe your Lord and your wife and your children and your family. And may God bless you as you establish this character in your life that seems so missing in the lives of people today. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.